Welcome back to Suburban Black Girl, episode 51. Yippee.
When we don't drink, it's so awkward. It's like, and what do we do now?
Smile and nod.
Smile and nod. Today's episode, I'm excited about this one. We're discussing, why do Black women have to be everything all at once? So we're getting into the identity load, the emotional reality, work success, and superwoman complex, softness, healing, and redefining our power. First question is, do you think having it all together has become the new survival mask for Black women?
Survival mask? I don't know. Do you think it's really a mask, though? Or are people really just out here trying to survive?
Right. I just think we hold it well. I think we hold it very well. You know, I think as Black women, we can hold a lot and you would not know. Like, we don't look what we're going through.
Ever. Yeah. Yeah. That's how I would describe it.
So maybe that's the mask. Yeah. The masking part.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like when you are in survival mode or you're doing things on your own or you don't have a lot of help or a lot of assistance, you have no choice. You don't have time to be like weak or vulnerable or soft or a pushover or take no for an answer or not assert yourself, whatever. Like, so like, is it a mask from the perspective that you're putting up a strong front, even though maybe internally you are struggling? Yeah. But I think that's just the reality for a lot of people.
Yeah. I do think as Black women, like I was saying before, I think we do carry it well. And I hate the word saying mask, right? Because for me, it doesn't feel as though it's a mask. It's kind of just like, this is just what I have to do to provide and survive.
Yeah.
And it's like, I've got to push through it. I have to get up. I have to show up and rest when I rest, cry when I cry, pray when I pray, et cetera. So I hate the word saying mask, but yeah.
Where do you think that like comes from within all of us?
Yeah. Like, where is that?
Like, do you think everybody gets it from their mothers and their aunties? And whatever, like,
I think that makes, I think that makes a lot of sense, right? Because we've all seen our mothers, grandmothers, aunties carry and hold a lot where it's like, my God, like, I cannot believe that's what you're going through or facing, because we still have to show up for, you know, ourselves, children, if we have them, a husband, if we have one, et cetera. And we do carry a lot, right? And we do have a lot of people that are dependent on us on a daily, because like we talked about before, like, we're natural nurturers. So people gravitate towards us, cling to us, and literally feed off of our energy to survive and supply their own energy.
So why do you think so many people don't like Black women? Because I feel like it's so, I feel like when it comes to Black women, like, nobody is indifferent. Like, it's literally one end of the spectrum or the other. Yeah. Like, you hear people like, I love Black women. I love their energy. I love their style. I love their attitude. I love their strength. And then Black women are so ghetto, Like, I feel like middle ground.
That is true. When you're saying that, I was like, no, they either hate us or love us.
Why do you think that is? Are Black women polarizing?
Why do I think that is? I think we make other people feel little when those aren't even our intentions. Like, we are just who we are. And there's a lot of times where people tell me, like, they think I'm so confident, and I don't think I'm confident at all. Like, I think I'm just normal. And I'm just like, I think it's something in us, because there's times where I'm just like, when a Black woman walks in the room, I'm like, my God, like, the presence alone is overwhelming. And I think we have a presence that, not saying because we're Black women, but I don't think a lot of other races have that same aura and energy when they walk in a room. And you do see, like we talked about before, like when you walk in a room and it's like, everyone's like looking like, dang.
Yeah,
like, they're not really doing that when Susie's coming in the room. Not as much. No.
Yeah, honestly, that makes sense, because it's like the energy is captivating.
I think that's
so. Yeah. It's either you admire it or you're jealous of it, or you're envious of it.
Yeah,
and I could see how that could be polarizing in a way.
Yeah, and sadly, like, let's be honest. I think, you know, there are a lot of people where, let's be honest, they were taught to hate Black people and to hate us. And so I think even maybe deep down, they like us or want to get to know us. They were always taught, like, you can't, like, do not, based on, you know, their generations. Just because it's like, I believe that racism is taught. Like, it's not like you wake up and you're not born and you're just racist. Like, no, you're taught to be racist. There's mm-hmm. no way around that.
Yeah.
And so I think that's kind of also maybe where that stems from too. It's just a lot of people just have that sick thing about them.
No, I agree. And I think there's probably a lot of white men out there that are attracted to black women, but they could never date one because they couldn't bring them around their friends or their family.
You know? Yeah. Yeah. And like, honestly, I'm pretty sure you feel the same way. There's times where you may be out and the way a white man will look at you as a black woman, I'm like, Paul, you need to relax.
Well, I feel like sometimes they can be forward, but I feel like a lot of times, and I feel like a lot of black women maybe have experienced this, it's like you don't even know when a white man is flirting with you because they don't like... I feel like they don't know how to interact with us sometimes, or they're no. so uncomfortable yeah. or whatever that it's like not actually, it's not apparent that they're trying to flirt. Yeah. It's not obvious that they're trying to flirt.
Yeah. But I also hear oftentimes is they don't think that we like them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's like, so it's like, but we both feel the same way, right? Mm. Because I don't think white men really like me like that, but I don't know. I think it just... varies.
Yeah.
But I do say like there's certain black friends that I have that naturally just attract a lot of white men. And it's like, they have a certain type of black woman that they like, in my mm-hmm. opinion. Like
yeah.
there's certain friends where I'm like, yeah, that's all you attract. And I can see why, like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. There's something about it.
Yeah. But I don't really know what it is. I mean, obviously people joke yeah. about hard wig, soft life, but there's something outside of that.
Yeah. Yeah, there is. I don't know. I can't put my finger on it. How often do you feel like you have to prove you belong in certain rooms even after earning it?
I don't feel like that anymore, to be honest. Like, I work hard because I take pride in my work mm-hmm. in any area of life. If I'm asked to do something, I'm going to do it well and to the best of my ability, period. Not because I feel like I need to prove myself more because I'm black, but just because of my own work ethic and... yeah, like how I want to show up. Yeah, but I feel like the farther along I've gotten in my career, the older I've gotten, I don't necessarily really care about proving mm-hmm. that I belong in that room because I know that I'm smart. I know that I'm good at my job. I know that I add value. And I already know there's going to be assumptions about me at first, right? Because yeah. I might be quieter or definitely younger. So I feel like maybe people might assume I'm standoffish. People maybe assume I'm more shy, or maybe they assume like maybe I'm not ready for the role or whatever because I'm more quiet or younger. But I don't really worry about that because it's just like, it's like a Maddie knew who she was from a young age. Like, you know what I mean? It's like a just wait till I start to cook. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I already know that once I get into the work and... it starts to speak for itself. And I can recognize what people's perception of me is going to be at first. I just already know that. They might think I'm more standoffish or shy, whatever it is. But by the time people at work get to know me, then they know that, yeah, I actually am approachable. I'm nice and kind and that I'm smart and I am good at my job. So I don't worry about that because I know that will be the end result. It just takes a minute, you know? And so when it comes to proving myself, I just feel like you show up, you do your job and you do it well. And I personally take the let my work speak for itself approach.
Yeah. And honestly, I agree with you. I do think before I used to go a little harder as far as like trying to overly prove myself, and you start to realize that they're going to accept you regardless, yes or no, right? Depending on how much energy you put. Like, you realize that you don't have to put that much energy into it. It's just like, show up as you are and they'll like you, yes or no. But sometimes they're just not, no matter how much effort you put into it. And so I realized, I was like, I'm just exhausted from doing this, right? And so I definitely have learned to definitely become more of who I truly am, you know, wherever I'm at. And like you said, yeah, I do agree. Your work does speak for itself. And you will get opportunities and jobs and connections just based off of who you are and what your work ethic is. Mm-hmm. And I'm definitely a person where it's like, I just let my work speak for itself because I don't ever overly say like, I'm the shit and I'm this badass bitch or whatever that it may, whatever case may be, because it's like, if people know, like, if you know, you know, like you don't have to say anything at all. And for me, I think that's been one of my, I guess, tactics or skills that I use to my advantage. It's just, you don't have to be the loudest in the room.
No.
You don't have to be the big dog in the room. It's just like your presence alone is enough.
Mm-hmm.
And I stick and I stand beside that. Like I speak when I need to, but typically I'm more of just like the listener in the room because I'm big on surrounding myself with the big dogs, honestly, because that helps me. Because I don't like to be the smartest in the room. I've been there before and it's not fun. Mm-hmm. You outgrow the space quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And you realize that you're literally teaching everyone else and you're not bettering yourself. You're bettering mm-hmm. the others around you. So mm-hmm. I do believe in loving to be and have a seat at the table, but just grateful for the opportunity, but really trying to learn from those around me that are obviously killing it. But I mean, clearly if you're in the space as well, then you're doing your job as well.
Yeah. I agree with that. I'm definitely not one to waste words. And I think that's also why people's perception of me changes. And then I end up being respected because I only speak when I have something to say. Mm-hmm. And when I have something to say, I'm adding value and that's it. You know, so I can sometimes see when people are like, oh, that's a good point. And maybe mm-hmm. they like didn't expect it out of me.
Yeah.
You know, and I think what has helped me as of recently is just the more you grow in your career, you realize people really are not that, they're not that smart. Like a lot of times their intelligence does not reflect their title.
At all.
Their ability to be a manager, their ability to make decisions, their ability to lead does not reflect the fact that they're a VP or whatever it is. And I think when you're just starting off in your career, it's like maybe you feel small or intimidated or whatever, but it's just like the more you learn and the closer proximity you start to get to those people, it's like, oh, you don't understand anything.
No, it's just they've been working there for 15 years.
Yeah, that in itself, not that you're looking down on anyone, but it's just more like, no, you deserve to be here because you actually know your stuff.
Right.
And you don't need to overcompensate.
No. And I do believe, you know, as millennials, Gen Z, et cetera, I forget what these other generations are.
Is it Gen Alpha?
Yeah, Gen Alpha. And there's another one out there.
What are they? What's Gen Alpha? Wait, Gen Alpha is younger than Gen Z?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
There's something
I guess Gen Z is starting to get a little older.
Yeah, they are. Because, yeah. I mean, yeah, they're almost 30 as well. You realize that we do have a lot of leverage in these companies because they're really utilizing our brains and the way we move and think because they're stuck in their old ways. And I love the fact that being the younger person in the room and the younger person in the company, we're able to bring fresh ideas and a new direction where it's like, y'all been doing it like this whole time. This is crazy.
But the good thing is when someone is older and receptive to
That's
it,
true.
But it's very That's true. Difficult when somebody is older and they just do not get it.
Yeah.
Do not get it. And like, for me, that has been a frustrating thing in my career because I've always worked in e-commerce, but ultimately the person you're reporting into or their boss's boss and or your boss's boss's boss is all of their entire career has been brick and mortar, like department stores, whatever it is. And they don't have a strong understanding of the internet and selling things on the internet.
Jesus.
And that has been my entire job for almost the past 10 years. And so
you're in a new field for sure. You're right.
And not that the internet has been new in the past 10 years, but the amount that online shopping and digital marketing has grown over the past 10 years is a lot. And so if you're in any sort of field, new field like that, whatever, it's like, and you're younger, don't let people try to like sun you because you're younger. Because at the end of the day, it's necessary that you're there because you are bringing knowledge that these older people who have been in the same role for whatever that they don't have.
Right.
Or that they don't understand. So.
And they literally don't. They're like.
Right.
Like, side note, one of our businesses was trying to start a LinkedIn page. And my boss was like, yeah, like talking about like the agency is going to have to create the LinkedIn page. I was like, pause. I can do that. It's simple.
Creating a LinkedIn?
Oh, yes. God. I was like, I promise you, it's not as hard as you think.
Yeah.
I'm like, we just put in the logo, we put in the banner, we just put the website in. I'm like, my God, relax, please. Yeah.
No, the best part is like having a one-on-one with your boss. And it's like, you can break it all down. Like, this is what's going on. This is what we need to do. And then like, I've definitely been in meetings, like hearing them trying to regurgitate it. And I'm just like,
oh yeah,
I said that.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's the part of the chain of command.
Yeah.
That is the part of the chain. And that's something that kind of annoys me too. Yeah. We can go on and on about that topic. Or the emails you get where you're included in the email and you know, like, this person may be talking to you, or you know that you have that answer or you have that thing that they're looking for. And so you send it, but like your supervisor or maybe your manager or your boss, whatever, is like, hey, can you send me that? Trying to send it on your behalf or on behalf of the team. And it's like, I already sent it. Like, no, because I have it. You're not going to. Yeah, I'm on the chain too. Like, that's a slap in the face. Like, that is so. No.
Yeah.
I'm going to send it.
Yeah.
I'm including the email. You know, I have it. I'm going to send it. We're not doing that. You send it. No.
Yeah. And to be honest, I find that
weird.
Yeah.
I don't like that type of stuff at all.
Yeah.
Do you ever struggle to let people see you when you're not strong?
Like friends and family or coworkers?
Friends and family.
I don't think so. Because I've always been like a sensitive, emotional person. So I don't really think so. I actually can't hide it even if I wanted to. Like the people that know me know something's wrong. It's written all over my face. Like, so it's not a matter of hiding it for me. It's a matter of, do I feel like talking about this today or not?
Mm.
If that makes sense.
I think for me, it's like knowing who I can be strong around, as in like, okay, I can be honest and transparent. Like, I'm actually not having a good day.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that there's a way that you can kind of help me feel better, or I can kind of like let off some steam with you. But if I don't feel as though you can make the situation better, like, no offense, I'm just going to be like, I'm good.
Mm.
But I think I unfortunately have I do a great job of like masking my emotions. I think it's a part of being like, I hate to say it, a Virgo. I think we do a great job. Beyonce's a Virgo. So it's like, I think we do a great job of like, despite of what we're going through, like we can literally completely like mask it, turn it on and off. I think it's a blessing, but also a huge curse.
Mm-hmm.
Because when it comes time to me, for me to be like super emotional and have maybe certain connections with people, it may feel as though like, are you here? Are you connecting? Because I feel like there's still a wall up and I'm like, I'm trying.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I think I'm super like private when it comes to just expressing my weaknesses to people.
Yeah. And that's fair. I feel like a lot of people are like that. I think the only time that really becomes challenging is like in close relationships,
mm-hmm.
or where it like might affect you.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as getting through life, it's not necessarily a bad thing.
Gotta push through. How do you remind yourself that being soft doesn't mean you're being weak?
I tell myself WWJD. What would Jesus do? I think two things. One, you can be kind, loving, open, and that can mean being soft or vulnerable or whatever. And sometimes, yes, people can take that as weakness. So I think if you are that way, then you definitely have to have a good relationship with boundaries and how to set them. But then I also think when it comes to people being in conflict with you, or if you're disrespected, whatever it is, the way I try to remain in my softness without feeling weak is, I jokingly said WWJD, but it's not our place to try to teach people lessons or seek revenge or whatever. Like, leave that to God.
Mm-hmm.
He wants you to show people grace, and that doesn't mean don't have boundaries. And so that's how I stay in my softness, is at the end of the day, I look at it like, I always tell myself, you are God's child also. And one day when I meet him at the gates of heaven, he's going to say, thank you for showing my child grace when they were acting a fool. And I'm going to be like, you're welcome. And so that's how I see it. That's how I remain in my softness, is what would God want me to do right now? And it is not what I feel like doing. So,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah. And honestly, this is actually something that I was literally dealing with yesterday, where I'm just like, am I being too soft in this situation? Am I not standing up for myself? Am I coming across off as weak? And I'm like, even though I know I'm not, I'm like, but how is it being portrayed? And I honestly do struggle with that. It's like, am I coming across off, or am I just simply being weak and letting people, quote unquote, walk over me? Mm-hmm. But I think I'm so big on, like, simply on, based on what you just said, it's you value your peace. And it's like, I don't want to deal with the back and forth. I don't want to, no offense, hit you below the belt, because I will go there very fast. And which is why I try my best to not say too much, because it's like the things I think in my head sometimes I'm like, okay, no, you cannot say that, Ashlyn. So, you know, it's one of those things where I'm even telling myself, you're just giving the situation grace, for just myself, honestly, more than anything. But I don't try to say certain things about myself are a weakness, because I'm like, no, as long as I feel okay about it and it hasn't like raised my blood pressure and made me feel just simply irate, I'm like, whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, I just kind of laugh it off and I'm like, anyways, mm-hmm. next. But that takes time, because it'd be hard not to pop off.
I think part of the reason sometimes where I do have a, other than what I just said, have a lot of self-control when it comes to that is I just am, whatever you want to call it, energy, karma, whatever. I am a big believer in the energy that you put out will come back to you.
Yeah.
And that also helps me remain calm and soft and whatever in those situations, because I've been in situations or breakups where it's like, you deserved for that Xbox to be broken. You deserved for your clothes to be bleached.
Wait,
but what? I don't want that karma on me.
Oh, okay. I was like, Blake, when did you?
No, I didn't do that. I didn't do it. I was like, this Blake, is my what? Point. I did I was not like, when did you do that. Never.
Oh my girl, what's tea?
Never.
I don't remember that story.
Exactly. Because it didn't happen, because I don't want that energy coming back to me. Because even if they deserved it, it is not our place to try to deliver somebody's karma to them or to seek revenge. And so, yeah, that's another thing that helps me stay in that softness. Yeah. But also, if the question is about softness versus weakness, I actually think it takes a lot of strength to stay calm, to stay in control of your emotions, and to show people grace. It's easy to lash out. It's easy to hit below the belt. It's easy to not have a filter and say what they probably deserve to hear or do to them what they did to you. That's actually weak. You know, that's actually easy.
Yeah, you're
right. It's actually a lot harder to sit in your feelings, say, this made me feel disrespected, this made me feel hurt, and to not lash out.
Yeah.
I actually think that's strength, not weakness.
Mm. And honestly, Blake, when you put it that way, I think you're so right. Because it's like, I know the amount of work, time, and energy I've spent on myself to get myself to this point. Mm-hmm. And you're right. It is so easy to lash out. It is so easy, but it's like, but that also exerts so much more energy.
Right.
And it takes you so much longer to kind of get back in your space. Mm-hmm. And then let's be honest, you've embarrassed yourself.
And then you have to deal with that. And that's the other reason why I do not get out of character, because I always regret it afterwards. And then I got to deal with that guilt. No.
Yes. You know how many times I get someone saying like, I'm so sorry, or can we talk about it? Because it's like, yeah, you literally showed your ass and now you've calmed down and now you want to apologize. And now I'm kind of like, I can't fuck with you the same.
Yeah.
You crashed out.
Yep.
Hell no. Yep. Yeah. No, that's what I'm saying. I'm like, y'all be looking crazy. Literally.
Yep. I think, and I have the same approach too. Like, I used to take it so personal when people used to call me a crybaby or that I'm sensitive or whatever. But like, the more I've gone to therapy and the more I've grown, I'm like, the being in tune with your emotions is actually strength.
Yeah. I like you. Very well said.
Because it's not easy. You know, it's the easy thing. And I've been in points in my life where I just suppress things and whatever. that is the easier thing to do. That's the easier coping mechanism.
Yeah.
It takes strength to sit in how you're feeling when it's extremely uncomfortable. And it takes even more strength to tell somebody, you hurt my feelings.
Yeah.
But it is very hard for a lot of people to say. People would rather lash out. They'd rather be angry. They'd rather just cut you off with no explanation than simply say, you hurt my feelings.
Exactly. No, you're very right.
That's a very vulnerable thing to say.
Yeah. True that. True that. What's something that you no longer feel obligated to be or perform as a Black woman?
I don't know. Probably when it comes to like white people activities. Like, I talk how I talk, or I'm not going to pretend like I know who some country artist is and just like nod and smile. I'm like, oh yeah, I don't know. I'm not familiar. You know, like just like little stuff like that. It's just like
white people antics.
I don't know.
White people conversations.
Yeah. Or just like, oh, I love going hunting and da da da. Have you ever been to, you know, maybe me a couple of years ago would just be like, oh no, I've never done that. But the honest answer, which I give now, is I'm not much of an outdoorsy person. Like, and just being honest, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just like stupid stuff like that. It's just because it takes energy to think about the perfect answer to that question, even though I haven't done it. How should I say it? It's just the overthinking when it comes to that, I'm not doing anymore.
Yeah, that's a great point.
It's like, no, I actually like to go to brunch on the weekends.
Yeah. And for me, it's brunch, hookah.
Like, I'm like, I actually enjoy a nice cocktail and brunch.
Yeah. I think it's so funny when like other people will ask you like, oh, like, so where'd you, oh, you went out like where? And you tell them the place. And like, let's be honest, it's a Black owned spot sometimes, right?
Yeah.
And they're like, what? Never heard of it. I'm like, exactly. Move. Like, just get out of my face.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I would sit there and be like, do I even want to tell them I went to that restaurant? Because it's like, they don't know. So what's the point of saying it?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think for me, one thing I'm no longer obligated to doing when it comes to that is showing up and portraying myself to be like this super bubbly, happy, wanting to communicate and mix and mingle type of person. It's like, no, if I don't feel like talking to other people, I'm just not going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so sometimes I just don't have energy to do that. Like, I just simply want to sit there. I don't want to sit there, make small talk with random people just for the sake of making you feel comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
I'm comfortable within myself and in this room. Leave me alone. Like, I don't feel like I have to do all of that anymore. And sometimes I feel like I had to do that to maybe, quote unquote, kiss ass or make people feel more comfortable or maybe to be more liked. Now I'm kind of like, you like me if you like me, and if you don't, you don't. And some people just don't like me for no reason at all.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that I cannot change. And it's really why I just show up as I am. And maybe some days I'm more bubbly and some days I'm not because I'm just tired or something. I don't know. But I'm no longer putting on a quote unquote mask.
I agree. I agree with that.
The mask is off. And I think I can say that for a lot of us Black women now, especially in corporate. We're like, please.
For real. Like, maybe yesterday I was like, oh, how are you? And today I'm like, hey.
Yeah.
That's and literally me. It's okay. I don't need to. It's okay to show up as you are that day.
Yes.
You know.
Exactly. I like that. Show up as you are that day.
Mm-hmm.
The small talk days, I'm like, oh, no, those days are so over because I don't even know what we're talking about.
Right. But some days I genuinely don't mind it. Most days I do because I'm not a big small talk person. But
yeah,
there are some days where I will engage in the, oh, what'd you do this weekend?
Right.
But then I can feel myself drifting off once they start talking about they went to Susie's soccer game and whatever. And then that's where I start thinking about other things. And then I'm just smiling and nodding and realize I wasn't listening at all.
You're just like, make it stop.
Yeah. Oh, that's, I'm like, oh, that's nice. Children.
Right. Cool. Like, talk about the children. You're like, okay, I don't.
Can't relate.
No, it literally, it's like a whole nother tangent. Mm-hmm. You're like, okay. What does it look like for Black women to redefine what doing enough really means or looks like?
To me, that kind of reminds me of the whole like strong Black woman thing. Like, we don't have to constantly be doing the most or doing 8,000 things to be enough, I guess.
Yeah. And honestly, it just goes back to what I was just saying before, as far as like, there's days where I may show up and be over bubbly. And some days it's just kind of like, I'm barely there. Mm-hmm. And that is me doing enough. And there's times where I feel as Black women, we put so much pressure on ourselves to show up fully 110% because that's what we're quote unquote supposed to do. And it's like, no, like today, this is the most I can give. This is the most I can do. Mm-hmm. And that's been, I think, the game changer for me. Because there's days where I used to beat myself up like, dang, you didn't do that. You didn't accomplish that, or you didn't get to that. Now I'm just kind of like, I'll get to it when I get to it. Mm-hmm. Like some days I'm like, I'm actually just mentally, physically, emotionally tired.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that too. Like I try to have like a to-do list for things I want to accomplish on certain days. And I would never accomplish it all because I was trying to do way too much in a day. And I've started to be more realistic with myself and show myself grace. Like, here's the one thing that you're going to do today, and that's it.
Mm.
And if I do more, great. And I'm not talking about the one thing I'm going to do is go to work, but right. I'm talking about things like outside of your actual obligation. You have Monday through Friday. But like, if my one thing is, I don't know, doing my laundry and going to the grocery store, that's enough.
Yeah, that's two chores.
Because to be honest, that is like...
That's two chores.
It is. And going to the grocery store is a lot in itself. And so is folding laundry if you've got like a week or two's worth, which I've been traveling a lot. So that is. So it's like Monday or whatever day I got back, like Wednesday. If the two things I did was work, unpack my bag and do all the dirty laundry, that was enough. I just got back.
You did more than I do sometimes when I come back from trips. I just go to work and that's it.
Right. So it's just, it almost like, and this is what I mean by like the society we live in. Like it almost sounds lazy. Like, oh, that's all you're going to do today. Because we live in such, like I said, a hustle culture.
Yeah.
But like, no, that was my one thing for the day.
Yeah.
And that's not to say you don't have some days where you're up late or whatever, but every day cannot be trying to accomplish 8,000 things.
No.
It's not sustainable. It can be. It's just not sustainable.
No, it is. It is. And it's so easy to really like burn yourself out.
Mm-hmm.
As a Black woman, have you ever had to learn how to receive and not just give?
I don't think I had to learn how to receive, but I think I had to learn that I am worthy or deserve things. As I am. Like, I don't have to do the most. I don't have to prove anything in order to be worthy. Me and who I am and my presence and whatever is worthy and deserving.
Yes.
And anything else I do is, you know, above and beyond. But I am worthy of certain things. And it depends the context what we're talking about, whether you're talking about work or a relationship, whatever. I'm more talking about, like, a relationship, whatever it is, like I am worthy of certain things simply because of who I am. And I don't need to prove that I deserve. I feel like sometimes people think they feel like they need to prove that they deserve to be in the relationship or anything. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I do think it's harder to receive than it is to give for me, but it's something that I'm learning over time because it's hard. I think I'm a natural giver. And sometimes it is harder for me to receive because I don't want the consequence of someone trying to hold it over my head and make me feel as though, remember that one time? I don't like that type of stuff because if you're going to do it for the right reason. And that's why I'm very cautious of like who I am receiving of, because not everyone's intentions are good when they give things to you.
Mm-hmm.
I know my intentions when I give not even thinking that you're going to give me anything back.
Mm-hmm.
I give just for good karma and what I give will come back to me in different forms. But I'm not expecting because I give you a nice gift for you to give me one back. No, I don't really move like that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, it is hard sometimes to receive, especially I think when it comes to maybe a relationship, right? Or you're dealing with a person that you genuinely like, it can be kind of like, I'm kind of scared. Because usually after this point, it goes downhill.
Interesting. Yeah, I've never had trauma. I've never had a problem receiving.
I be having trauma because I'm like, this is when it goes left.
That's fair. I do think there is a certain level of...
But we're growing.
Of weight of like, oh gosh, I already know how this goes. It's like, as you get close to the 2 or 3 month, whatever mark it is, it's like, when is the mask going to come off? Yeah. Or whatever, you know? I do agree with that. But I don't think I've ever had a difficult relationship with receiving.
Well, period. I just think I had some trauma back in the day with that. I'm like,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
I get a little nervous. I'm like,
yeah. Ooh. Okay. We've got a few mantra moments today because I think a lot of these are good little zingers, if you will.
Zingers.
The first one is you don't have to earn rest, softness, or peace. You already deserve it. The second one is your worth is not determined by your productivity. I think that is probably one that every Black woman needs to hear. Your worth is not determined by your productivity. You were never meant to carry the world, only your purpose.
Mm.
That's a good one.
Yes.
And the last one is unlearn the lie that love must be earned through exhaustion.
Mm.
Period.
Yes to all of that.
Thank you for joining us for episode 51. Don't forget to comment, like, subscribe, follow us on all platforms at Suburban Black Girl Pod. Email us at suburbanblackgirlpod@gmail.com. And we will see you next week.